Thank you so much, Tom. We appreciate that report, and I'm impressed about that good memory you have. At least your good way of keeping up with a bulletin, even if you couldn't remember it. But we're actually still on that journey, by the way. We made our way all the way to the very edge of the Promised Land, though. And Bruce did finish up the Book of Romans, but we're moving ahead. But this morning, want to just pause a little bit on the journey. And I'd really like to pick up where Brother Tom left off. Appreciate the work of the Gideons, their desire, as you've heard this morning and many of us many other times, their desire to spread the word of God. And I've said before that my favorite Gideon is named Paul. They didn't actually have the Gideon ministry back in the first century, but Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, he was a wonderful communicator and spreader of the gospel, of the Word of God. And of course, we know, those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and we've been under the teaching of the Word of God, we know that it's our responsibility as believers to share that with others, to spread the good news. And we know there are many avenues and many methods with which to do that. I'm going to ask you this morning to turn in your Bible, if you have it, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there should be at least one on the row there in the along with the hymn books. I encourage you to get that and find 2 Timothy and follow along. We're going to read the first 13 verses, but really, this morning, I would like for us just to focus in on one verse. Actually, a couple of verses, I guess we're going to do our focusing on. But a phrase in one verse particularly has been on my mind for quite some time. Started to speak on it in the past, but have not done it. But I'd like to share some thoughts with you this morning. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, of course, is written by Paul, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, as all Scripture is, and it's profitable. And we're going to read, beginning with verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 2. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, or is involved in an athletic contest, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." The phrase that I'd like for us to really focus our attention, our hearts on this morning, is the end of verse 9. "But the word of God is not bound." I'd like for us to think this morning in the time we have on the unlimited word of God. Several weeks ago on the journey, we were in Deuteronomy and we were looking at the sword that the Lord Jesus used, drawing out of Deuteronomy when he faced Satan there in the wilderness, that time of temptation. We studied there that there are two words that are translated word in the thought of the Word of God in the New Testament. One of them that we looked at particularly that morning was that word rhema, speaking of the specific words, a phrase, if you will, a statement of the Word of God, a statement of God. The other word is logos. And that speaks of the whole Word of God, and that's what we have here. That's the word that the Spirit of God led Paul to use in verse 9, "But the Logos of God is not bound." The entirety of Scripture is unlimited. As Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, the last recorded letter that we have from his pen by the Spirit of God, we know that he was imprisoned. And he makes that clear even in the verses that we've already looked at and read, and we're going to be looking at a couple of them a little bit closer. And what we'd like to do this morning is we'd like to peer by faith into a prison cell. And in that prison cell sits Paul, who wrote this letter. We look through by faith as we consider the Scripture, and we see him there dictating a letter. We call it an epistle sometimes. And it's written to Timothy. And where we, as we peer into this prison cell where Paul is chained, we'd like to learn some things from Paul. Consider four actions. We'll look at them very briefly. But not just to see what Paul did, but to see what we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can do in imitating him. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Be ye followers," or literally imitators, "of me, even as I also am of Christ." So we're going to look at four of Paul's actions this morning that we can imitate in regard to spreading the unlimited word. The first thing we see that Paul did and that we're going to challenge ourselves to do is to confirm your present ambition. Confirm your present ambition. A lot of people graduating. Next Sunday morning, we'll be honoring those who are in this fellowship. They're going to be graduating from high school, and also those who are going to be graduating from college or have just graduated from college. You know, when you speak to a recent graduate, you often ask them, well, what do you want to do? What are your goals? What are your ambitions? Someone wrote about ambition. They said that ambition usually progresses through the following stages in life. That ambition begins to be like Dad. Then it progresses on to the ambition to be famous. And then that ambition spreads even larger wings, and the ambition may come to be a millionaire. Then ambition gets a little more realistic, and the ambition becomes to make enough to pay the bills. And finally, ambition becomes just to hang on long enough to draw a pension. So ambition may change over time. But Paul, here's his ambition. Look at the at verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." Here's his ambition. Here's the purpose, the goal, and what he is doing. "That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." His heart, his longing, his ambition, what he was shooting for, was that others would come to know the salvation in Jesus Christ that he had come to know. The salvation that had changed his life, that had made him, as our brother said, become a new creation in Christ Jesus. That they would obtain that. Literally, that means to hit the mark. I think that's kind of interesting when we consider that the word for sin, this often translated sin in the Bible, means to miss the mark. And truly, that's what we do as human beings. We miss the mark. God says, here's what I want you to do. Here are my expectations, and we fail to do that. But here Paul says, my heart is that those who have missed the mark will hit the mark, and that they will obtain that salvation. And of course, he knew and teaches and preaches all through his letters that, and in the book of Acts, he preaches and teaches that that salvation is available not for a work that we have done, but rather by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And he says it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his heart, sitting in that prison cell, that those who didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ would come to know him. God already knew who those people were going to be. according to his foreknowledge. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God knows all things. Before time ever began, God knew everything that would take place in time. But Paul recognized his responsibility. That God desired for him to spread his word, God's word. That whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. And Paul desired for that message to go out to the world, that they might obtain that eternal salvation. Well, we'll just pause this morning here for a moment. We have some Gideons in this assembly, but most of us here this morning are not Gideons in the ministry term. But all of us who know the Lord Jesus do have a responsibility to spread the Word of God. And as we sit here this morning, I wonder, what would you say your ambition is? What are your goals? What is driving you? Has God placed in your heart, shedding abroad His love, has He placed there the desire to see others hit the mark? To by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world? Is it your desire that they would come to know that one who was placed in the grave and then was raised again to life on the third day as he had prophesied? Is it your desire that they would know him and that their sins would be forgiven as your sins have been forgiven? And maybe it is that God has put in your heart and burdened your heart for a certain individual or specific individuals or maybe a group of people. Or maybe a people group, or maybe an area of the world, or an area of your own city, your neighborhood, at your work. Maybe God has placed on your heart, and I just challenge all of us this morning to say, what is my present ambition? If I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus, then my ambition should be that others would come to know the Lord Jesus and obtain that salvation that is in Him alone with eternal glory. I wish we had more time to look at that, but we can't. We need to move on. We want to start out with confirming our ambition. If that's not your ambition, then you need to first of all say, do I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior? Have I truly been brought into the family of God and been born from above and born again? If I have, and yet my ambition is not that others may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, then I need to get before the Lord quietly. And I'd encourage you, even in the next few moments as I move ahead, that you, if that's you, that you'd pause right where you are and do business with God. The second thing we see Paul doing, and that we should do, is to face your present limitation. Face your present limitation. An invalid was once told that she could never escape from her prison of pain and weakness. Her quick reply was this, "Oh well, there's a lot of living to be found within your limitations if you don't wear yourself out fighting them." "Young lady," the doctor replied, "I wish I could have you preach to about 100 of my patients a year." The lady who responded in that way was Helen Keller, who also said, "Face your deficiencies and acknowledge them, but do not let them master you." What does Paul say in the beginning of verse 9? Wherein, and he's referring back to the gospel that he has just concluded verse 8 with, according to my gospel, wherein, in which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Paul acknowledges and addresses his present limitation. For most of his life as a believer, he had been traveling. He had been on the move. God had been sending him throughout the known world. He was going from town to town, from city to city, from village to village, from person to person, and he was sharing the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And his heart was full with doing what God had given him to do. He had been discipling those who came to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. He had been teaching as local groups of believers began to meet together in fellowship for hearing the Word of God taught by the apostles, for fellowshipping and sharing their lives, for breaking bread together, remembering the Lord Jesus, and for gathering for prayer. He would come with them and he would teach and he would be an example before them and he would pray with them and for them and he would share his life with them and allow them to share their lives with him. But you know what? The opponents of God and his glorious gospel had sought to limit Paul. And they assumed that if they could limit Paul, they would thereby limit God's word and its impact in the lives of others. Paul had been arrested before. He'd been arrested many times. He knew what it was to spend time in a jail. He knew what it was to spend time in a prison. He knew what it was to be under the control of the Roman guards. He'd experienced that. And now in his final imprisonment, he sits there in this, likely in a dungeon, probably chained, definitely chained, he tells us that, but probably chained to a Roman soldier. Today we think of Memorial Day. And I think of the many men and women who have experienced being prisoners of war, and many of those have eventually given their lives. Other military personnel giving their lives in the line of duty, in battle. And here sat Paul, a man who knew he was a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as he challenged Timothy to be, back in verse 3 of our text this morning. You know, none of us are in prison for our faith. None of us are in chains, literally, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. But you know what? The opponents of God and His gospel, and the ones who are behind those opponents, are just as serious and just as active today as they were in the first century. It may not be the Roman government. It may not be the Jewish religious leaders. But you know, our enemies, the world system, and our own flesh, and the devil behind it all, are still active. And they are still just as much opposed to the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ as they've ever been. And Satan knows very clearly what the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29. How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? And Satan seeks to use the demonic power at his disposal, and he seeks to use the culture in which we live, and he seeks to use our own humanness against us in order to bind us. And Satan seeks to affect our lives so as to limit our involvement and our effectiveness in the work of the gospel. Face your present limitation. Paul did. His limitation was actual chains of iron. They were actual prison walls. They were actual swords and spears of the ones who guarded him. That's not our situation, but you know, all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can likely look in our lives and say, you know, there are some things that the enemies of the Word of God are trying to use to limit me in declaring the gospel. It may be something as simple as geography. When we were mentioning those whom the Lord has put on your heart, maybe there are people in another part of the world that God has impressed on your heart, and you feel like, I am bound by my location. I'm here, and they're there, and I can't get to them. You might feel like you are bound by your level of financial resources. I wish I could do this, but I'm not in a financial situation where I can do that. Maybe you feel limited by the responsibilities in your life, your job demands, your family, your house, your possessions. Maybe there are emotional hindrances in your life that you feel like that the devil has orchestrated against you to try to limit what you can do for God. Maybe there are physical limitations, medical issues, weaknesses, health problems, pain or sickness. Maybe it's your age. You feel like I'm too young or I'm too old or I'm right in that period of life where I can't do what I want to do in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe you feel limited and bound by your educational background or your socioeconomic level. Maybe you feel like I don't know the Word of God well enough. Maybe you think I'm busy. Maybe it's your personality. Maybe you're timid. Maybe you're shy. Maybe there are insecurities and fears and discouragement and depression in your life. And you feel that these things are limitations. Maybe there are cultural barriers or language barriers or conflicts in relationships. Maybe temptations, maybe legal hindrances because of the government here or in other places. Maybe you don't have a specific spiritual gift that you believe would enable you to share and spread the Word of God more effectively. Maybe Satan is using guilt over past sins that have been forgiven. He's using that against you. Maybe you're struggling with doubt or unrealistic expectations or past failure. Whatever it is, and you may think of many other things that the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ could use in your life to bind you. Paul was limited and he faced his limitations. You may be experiencing limitations, and most certainly you are. It's wise to acknowledge those limitations. And it's wise to address those limitations. Thirdly, we see something that Paul did and that we should do. Examine your present conviction. Examine your present conviction. Look at his conviction. It's our focus this morning at the end of verse 9. We'll read the whole verse again. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. He wasn't an evildoer, but he was suffering as if he were a criminal, even unto bonds. And here's his present conviction. But the Word of God is not bound. Paul was convinced and convicted of the limitlessness of the Word of God. He was convinced that the Word of God was not stopped spreading just because he was imprisoned and not able to do what he had been doing or what he wanted to do or what he thought was the most effective in doing. And this conviction that was in his heart and in his mind and in his spirit was an encouragement to him, and he sought to use it as an encouragement to others. Again, as we turn the mirror away from Paul and turn it to ourselves and look in the mirror, and we have to ask ourselves, what is our present conviction? What is my view of the Word of God? We don't have time to turn there, but listen to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. What is your view of the Word of God? According to the New Testament, we won't have time to look at these verses, but according to the New Testament, the Word of God is vital. It's alive. It's active. It's penetrating. The Word of God is effective and powerful and life-giving and life-sustaining. The Word of God is growing. The Word of God is faith-producing. The Word of God is sanctifying. The Word of God is creative. And my circumstances within and without may bind me, but they cannot bind the Word of God. Is this your conviction? Now, I don't mean, do you believe that? I dare say that most of us in this room, we say, I just read it in the Word of God. I believe it. I'm asking you and I'm asking myself, is this our conviction? In other words, is this a belief that affects our behavior? Am I willing to act on the reality of this conviction that the Word of God is not bound? It is unlimited. You know, Paul, again, gives this truth to encourage and to motivate. He's writing to Timothy. The Spirit of God is leading him in what to write because he knew we would be here in this room this morning. He knew we would be considering together these verses. And the desire and design of God is that we be encouraged and we be motivated. And whether or not it does, and whether or not it's truly a conviction that the Word of God is unlimited and not bound is going to be evidenced, I believe, by the fourth action that we see in Paul. And here it is, invest from your present position. Invest from your present position. I read the story about a lady named Georgine Johnson. She was a runner. The longest distance she'd ever run was 8 miles. And so she entered a 10-kilometer race, 6.2 miles. It was the Revco Cleveland 10K. And she went to the race, but she got to the starting line 15 minutes early. The problem was that starting 15 minutes before the 10K race was the 26.2-mile marathon race. So she mistakenly joined about 4,000 runners taking part in the Revco Cleveland Marathon. She said that as she began to run and got into the run, she realized that she had gotten into the wrong race. 4 miles down the road is when it hit her. When the route left downtown and moved into residential areas, she said, I got that sick feeling that possibly I was in the wrong race. Another runner confirmed her suspicions, but instead of quitting, from where she presently was, she continued to run and actually finished that marathon in 4 hours and 4 minutes, good enough for 83rd place in the women's division. She started where she was. She recognized her limitations. She'd never run more than 8 miles. This was a 26.2-mile race. But she continued on. Paul, in the beginning of verse 10, says, therefore, he looks back to what he just said. The Word of God is not bound. Therefore, because the Word of God is unlimited, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Paul didn't excuse himself from involvement in the spreading of the Word of God because he was in bonds. And you know what? As we sat a while ago and thought about our limitations, you know, a very natural thing that could come from that was to excuse ourselves. Man, I'm sure glad Mark preached that message because now I don't have to feel like I ought to be doing it because I can't. I'm limited. Paul couldn't do it. He sat there in the prison cell and he just said, hey, I'm glad the Word of God isn't limited. But you know what? That's not Paul's intention. Yes, it's to encourage, but it's not to give us an excuse. Rather, it's to exhort us to do what we can in spite of our limitations. Paul was limited in what he could do. But that didn't mean he didn't need to be concerned about doing anything. He endured all things. In verse 3, we read that he endured hardness or hardship. Later in this letter, chapter 4 and verse 5, he says, I endured afflictions, and he was continuing to do that. Paul invested his life anyway from where he was in the ways in which he was not limited. He invested his life faithfully. He would write later in this letter, I have finished the course. I've done what God would have me to do. It's time for me to depart this life. But even as he dictated those words, he continued to invest his life. You see, Paul looked for ways that he could invest and that he could participate. He continued to write. He continued to pray. During his earlier imprisonment in Rome, we find him praying as he writes to the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae. He says, here's what I pray for you. While I'm sitting here chained, I'm praying for you. He continued to witness. Later here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, he talks about how while he was chained in this imprisonment, he was brought to a hearing before a Roman tribunal. And he said, while I was there, as they began to question me, I took advantage of that opportunity that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. He said, even though I was a prisoner, even though I was there to give a response to the questions that were being asked me, I used that. And here he is, limited. No, he couldn't go to Ephesus. No, he couldn't go to Colossae. No, he couldn't go to Jerusalem. No, he couldn't witness to some of the people he wanted to. No, he couldn't go to some of the cultural groups that his heart was burdened for. But he said, I'll do what I can. I will invest my life where I am. And he continued to be a challenge. In the first chapter of Philippians, again, written while he was in another prison, he said, you know, the things that have happened to me, these bonds, this imprisonment, has fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And he goes on to tell how his faithfulness to the Lord was encouraging others to go out and to share the gospel. He endured all things, even his limitations. You know, this morning, those of us who know Christ as Savior, our sins have been forgiven. We all have limitations. Your limitations may be different from mine, but we all have limitations as Paul did. But those limitations are not an excuse. They in no way are meant to excuse ourselves from involvement just because we're in bonds, just because we're bound, just because we're chained, just because we're limited. In spite of that, in spite of our limitations, we're to invest our lives in the spread of the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is not limited. It's not limited. No matter how bound you may feel yourself to be, no matter what struggle you are facing right now, no matter what chains you feel like are gripping you, the Word of God is not bound. And let that be an encouragement to you that the Lord can send someone else to talk to that person that you're concerned about. God can send others who do know the language to speak to that people group. Others can go maybe and be used, but God wants you to be used right where you are. Maybe you can't go to a country where your heart is burden is and take a Gideon Bible, but you know, somebody can get in there. And there are Gideons there very likely. What was it, 180 some countries? There are other ways to be involved in the gospel. And we must seek out those ways and never excuse ourselves. We must invest faithfully. Faithfully, brothers and sisters. Many here in this room learned as a child to invest faithfully for their future. And you took a little money out of every paycheck and you put it aside, maybe in an envelope, maybe in a savings account at the savings and loan, maybe in some other investment. You faithfully did that, not just haphazardly, as you faithfully did it. And God is calling us to faithfully invest our lives consistently looking for those opportunities. You know, Satan wants to make you think, I'm no good. I can't do anything. I can't share the gospel. I'm limited. Look at the baggage I'm dragging around. God says, okay, you have your limitations. You're human. But there are opportunities that you may be overlooking. Get before the Lord. Ask Him to show you those opportunities. Talk to others. Find ways that they are sharing the gospel, or get them to suggest something to you. Share your limitations and brainstorm together. Be in the Word of God. Look for ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Be like Paul. Invest wisely. We're all limited. We're all bound. But the Word of God is not bound. Never forget that. It's forever settled in heaven, and it will do its work. It will do its work. Trust the Lord to use you. Invest faithfully and wisely in getting out the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for our time together singing. Father, we've been reminded of those who have given their lives that we might have freedoms in this country. And, oh, Father, we can hear by faith Your Son saying, to him whom much is given, much will be required. Father, many of the limitations that are placed on people around the world are not placed on us. Father, may we take advantage of that to speak boldly for You, to hand out tracts for You. Father, to live lives which reflect the Lord Jesus so clearly that others will say, what makes you different? Father, might we look for ways to get the gospel around the world, whether we can go there or not. Father, maybe some in this room You are calling to go somewhere else. But Father, whatever may be our limitations, may we be fully convicted and convinced that Your Word knows no bounds. It is unlimited in its power. Father, we pray, thanking You that the gospel of Jesus Christ is Your power unto salvation to everyone who believes. Father, I pray this morning there may be, likely could be, someone in this room, Lord, You know their hearts. They don't know You as Savior. They never admitted to You that they're a sinner, separated from You and on their way to hell. They've never acknowledged that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose again. He shed His blood for them. They've never received Him as Savior. They've never trusted Him for forgiveness and eternal life. I pray that they will do that today. Father, those of us who know You, I pray that we will be spoken to from Your Word, from the example of Paul, from the power, the unlimited power of Your Scripture. We just give ourselves to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.